What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello and welcome to the Katie Halper Show. You can hear the Katie Halper Show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WBAI, that's 99.5 FM, or WBAI.org. You can also find us on iTunes. And when you're on iTunes, rate and review us, please. And you can find us on SoundCloud. And make sure you join our Patreon at patreon.com/the Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/the Katie Halper Show so that you can get bonus goodies. On today's episode, we do a little blast from the past. What happened is I did a show about Doug Jones and Roy Moore. Doug Jones, of course, was running against Roy Moore for Senate in Alabama, and he beat him. And I played these interviews that I did for this episode, which was with Matt Runig and Karen McClure on WBAI. But things happen. I never released it as a podcast. Now, fast forward from December to September, and what do you know? Doug Jones is in the headlines again because he has been sitting on the fence about the confirmation of Donald Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. Now, as you all know, Brett Kavanaugh is really scary. And if you don't know about that, now you know. Slash, check out our interview with Ro Khanna where we go through that. He shouldn't be confirmed. Okay, so first, my co-host Gabe Pacheco and our special friend Nathan Rosenberg, we set up the Doug Jones stuff. We recorded this week, and then we're going to go back in time and play those interviews. So we just want to give a shout out to Doug Jones. So Doug Jones has said that he's open to voting to confirm Kavanaugh. Doug Jones, of course, won a special election in Alabama. He won a Senate seat in December.
My man.
My man, yeah. Doug Jones, DJ, yeah. Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones.
It was an upset, right? It was like the first time that somebody has won, that a Democrat's won in Alabama, right? It's, since like 65.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
Let's just say it's been a long time.
I'm just throwing out numbers.
Yeah. No, it's been a while.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I could
hold my head up high. Of course, you know, people like to say that we need to run centrist like,
hell yeah,
Doug Jones.
Panera Bread Democrats.
Exactly. PBDs. PBDs. But, hey, you know, that's not the best model because we don't always have the good fortune of having Democrats run against pedophiles.
Whoa.
So that's Who's Roy Moore. I'm saying it. Roy Moore.
Okay.
Yeah. Multiple women
Alleged
came forward.
Or like,
I mean,
full-blown.
How many women do you need to, young women, do you need to come forward who say that he... I mean, the women's moms themselves said that they dated him and they were like underage.
You know, you never hear anyone say in these cases, it's like, I'm one away. You know, like, it's at 15. One, but if we got the 16 accusers,
right,
I'd be like, I buy it.
But what's the tipping point?
Yeah, exactly. Just the tipping point. Sorry.
No. I mean,
So Doug Jones only won because he was going up against a pedophile. Yeah. Not because of his.
Yeah. And in fact, because of his politics, or it was despite them.
Alleged.
Alleged what?
A pedophile.
Oh, alleged pedophile.
Alleged but, politics.
Yeah, whoa.
But he's, of course, the one whose wife Jew dropped, name dropped their Jewish lawyer.
Roy Moore.
Yeah, Roy Moore. That was a great moment.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. One of our attorneys is a Jew.
So Doug Jones has said that he's open to voting to confirm Kavanaugh.
Doug Jones kind of strikes me as like the anti-Ro Khanna, in that he's this guy who like was like a civil rights lawyer, like it was openly pro-choice running for senator from Alabama, ordinarily never, ever, ever would have won. And instead of being like, you know what, I'm not going to get reelected, like I should just do as much good as I have now as the Democratic senator from Alabama for however many years I have. And instead he's like, you know what, let me modify some of my positions and maybe get in place where I can get reelected, like to continue to not do that much good.
But yeah, I like this idea that if you feel like a lame duck, you might as well just go full Heisenberg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God. Full Bullworth.
Start rapping.
You know, the guy in the booth who's talking to you on a tiny little earphone, he's afraid the guys at network going to tell him he's through if he lets the guy keep talking like I'm talking to you. Because the corporation's got the networks and they get to say who gets to talk about the country and who's crazy today. I would cut to a commercial if you still want this job, because you may not be back tomorrow with this corporate mob.
Why aren't there more rapping senators? This is a real question.
Well, I think because we know it's not a very happy ending. Spoiler alert Bullworth.
It's hopeless, you see. If you're running for office without no TV, if you don't get big money, you get a defeat. Corporations and broadcasters make you dead meat.
Can't believe you just spoiled Bullworth.
I know, it's great.
No, I just think Ro Khanna is governing much more progressively than you would expect with a safe seat, whereas, like,
Doug Jones is squandering it. Yeah. This is why I call Ro Khanna the Zelaya of the Democratic Party, the Manuel Zelaya. You know, of course, Honduran president kidnapped in his pajamas, put on a helicopter during what Hillary Clinton calls the non-coup. And of course, this coup helped create the environment that is now making people flee so much violence. Okay, cool. Well, on that upbeat comedic note, back in December, I spoke to actually Claire McClure and Matt Brunig. Claire McClure is with Poor People's Campaign. And she said, she's a black organizer. She said, I couldn't meet with Doug Jones before he won. So, of course, like, he won't give us a meeting afterwards. And I did not vote for Doug Jones. I voted against Roy Moore.
Yeah.
So we're going to release that episode as a free bonus for listeners. Now, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Karen McClure. She's an organizer with the Poor People's Campaign in Birmingham, Alabama. She's also running for Alabama Public Service Commission Place 1.
I started working with Greater Birmingham Ministries to do voter registrations and voter restoration clinics. And, you know, that literally kind of changed my life in a way. You know, people were actually thinking they couldn't vote because they had a felony. And, you know, to hear the number of people who were not voting because they had a felony, and to find out that they could actually vote, I took it upon myself. I wanted to find every single person and let them know that they could vote. And so we decided to go into one of the hospitals here called Cooper Green Hospital here in Birmingham. And that was a goldmine for people who were not registered or who had lost their right to vote.
Wow.
And I mean, literally within 4 hours or less, we were registering people left and right. And so we decided, hey, let's go back there. Then we found other locations to go to, and we would have people would work for 2 hours. Then another group would come for the next 2 hours. And so that really worked for us. And then Greater Birmingham Ministries decided to build a coalition, they decided to, well, let's find out what some of the other groups are doing here in Birmingham in some kind of way connect. We wanted to really maximize each group's efforts. So Greater Birmingham Ministry started doing canvassing, phone banking, reminded people to vote. And I found that it was so exciting because it seemed like the spirit of it just transferred to everybody. I just started posting on my Facebook page that we should, in our cars, we should carry a voter registration kit.
Yeah.
And we should make that who we are as people, that this is what we do all the time, no matter what campaigns we're working on, that if we run across somebody just in our daily routine, we're prepared to register someone to vote or to restore their right to vote. So, I mean, it's been electrifying. We're just a people that's going to make it happen by any means necessary. And we stay in the process with each person. That's what I'm trying to say. To make sure that the process was completed for each person. And, you know, because we take it very seriously, because your vote, that, you know, it's your voice, and, you know, you lose your voice, you lose your voice. And so we wanted to give people their voice back, and, you know, by giving them their ability to vote. And we found that people who had felonies and were restoring their rights, they were excited to vote. I just got so excited because I was thinking thousands upon thousands and thousands of people have lost their right, and they want it, and they will go to the poll, and you don't have to motivate them or anything, because they lost that privilege and they want it back. So they're willing to, once they get that right, they're willing to, you know, get to the polls by any means necessary. So, you know, I think our goal should be, right now, we have momentum. And I was just posting on Facebook, is, you know, momentum could be your best friend, or it could be your, you know, your best enemy.
Right.
Because momentum is hard to get. So once you get the big momentum, you want to ride that way. You want to keep it going. And so I've just been talking to everybody about let's keep it going, because we have so much work to do in the state of Alabama. We want to get rid of Kay Ivey, our governor. We need to put our district attorney, Danny Carr, back in place, because he was just replaced with a Republican. And so, man, and then we have to think about, why is this so important? You know, our vulnerable, our poor and marginalized folks. And, you know, that's what my vote was about yesterday. And I just felt a calm come over me after I voted yesterday, because my vote was really a vote against Roy Moore.
Right.
Not really for anyone, because I didn't feel like anyone engaged me, anyone engaged the Black vote. I feel like our vote is taken for granted. Mm-hmm. And so our issues don't really have to be engaged. It's assumed. And so my vote was more against a child molester. It was against someone who had said that the last time America was great was during slavery.
Right.
It was against homophobia. It was against transphobia. Mm. And so my vote was more for in the spirit and for poor people.
Right.
Because I knew maybe I can endure maybe 2 years of more hardship after Trump and then Roy Moore. But I started thinking about rural Alabama. Mm.
Did you see Charles Barkley's statement?
This is a wake-up call for Democrats. Your Democrats, and I told Mr. Jones this, and I love Doug, they've taken the Black vote and the poor vote for granted for a long time. It's time for them to get off their ass and start making life better for Black folks and people who are poor. They've always had our votes, and they have abused our votes, and this is a wake-up call. We got it in a great position now, but this is a wake-up call for Democrats to do better for Black people and poor white people.
He was great. I want him to run for president.
You know what? Yeah, or governor.
Right. He should start baby
steps. I really
steps.
Appreciated what Barkley had to say, because it's what we have been saying this entire campaign, you know, me sending messages to Doug Jones campaign, you know, almost stalking people on the campaign, saying, hey, ask him, will he have a meeting with activists on the ground? You know, we have some things we want to talk to him about, because if we're going to push this person, we really wanted to understand the mindset behind that, that ad that he created, that his campaign created, about, what was it? Honor and compromise and the Confederacy.
Little Round Top, Gettysburg. Three times Colonel William Oates of Alabama led the Confederate forces to take it. Running out of ammunition, Colonel Joshua Chamberlain of Maine had his men fix bayonets to desperately repel the attack. What brought those two brave men, one from Alabama and one from Maine, together was war. Two sides believing so strongly in their cause that they were willing to die for it. Those times have passed long ago, and our country is better for it. But now we fight too often over other matters. It seems as if we're coming apart. I want to go to Washington and meet the representatives from Maine and those from every other state, not on a battlefield, but to find common ground, because there's honor and compromise and civility, to pull together as a people and to get things done for Alabama. I'm Doug Jones, and I approve this message, because on December 12th, Alabama can lead the way.
So, you know, we just wanted to understand that, and I don't know if he saw value, but I kept speaking out against engage, earn the black vote, engage me, engage our issues. And I was speaking against him, and then I had a shift of mindset. I started thinking about, you know, who I am and what I do in the city of Birmingham. And even though I feel like my Facebook is just me and my little friends and family, I'm told that I have a little, you know, somewhat of a reach.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I don't want to discourage people from voting at all. So I thought, you know what? I have to make sure I'm encouraging people to vote. So I start, I changed the way I spoke about it and just said, you know, let's vote against. If that would motivate, because people were saying they weren't going to vote, or they were saying they were going to write in someone.
Interesting.
And right. I'm like, no, I gotta, you know, I need to do my part and change this. So I started saying, you know, let's vote. And then I found out that a pastor in Birmingham named Bishop Jim Lowe had Roy Moore as a guest in his church. Two Sundays ago.
Wow.
And Bishop Jim Lowe is a prominent black pastor here in Birmingham. And that just took me over the top. Like, I just went hard saying, you know, we can't allow this. We cannot embarrass our state. We can't allow a racist pedophile to win in Alabama. Like, it's time for us to take our state back. It's time for us to do what we know we can do and save the soul of Alabama.
And what did Doug Jones fail to do? In other words, why was this vote against more than to vote for Jones? And what would he have had to have done to excite you so that you were voting not just against, as you called him, the racist pedophile, but for his opponent?
Well, Doug Jones did some incredible work back in the 90s, where he prosecuted the KKK for the bombing of the church and the four little girls. And that's incredible work, you know. But to me, he was doing his job. And so I wanted to hear more. I felt like, is that it? I mean, on every radio, everything was, you know, all the mailings in the black community and on the radio was about that. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, what else? And so I said, well, you know, give him a pass because he wasn't a politician.
Right.
Who had a, who would have a track record where he could say, well, I, you know, I worked toward, Medicare for all or fight for 15 or, you know, something like that. And so, you know, what I don't know what else I expected. Or I expected him to speak to our issues a little bit more. I wanted some bravery. Mm. And I kind of understood when you're running a campaign, you're trying to win votes from your competitor. Mm-hmm. You're trying to, it's so much that your campaign is trying to do. I don't understand it. I'm not into politics. Mm-hmm. But I wanted him to engage folks directly impacted by issues. And they say that he did. Mm-hmm. But I don't take their word for it because folks, I don't think showing up for to do a fish fry in the black community or showing up for church service is addressing our issues.
Right.
And so I can't always say, well, I've been hearing on the news people when he went into the black community, he went to this church, but that was in the last 2 weeks
right.
of the campaign. We're not dummies.
Right.
And I'm so fed up with that. You know, I want to run a campaign called Earn where we force, you know, folks who's running for office to earn our vote, you know, address our issues, address folks directly impacted, because the answer to most problems are found in the people most impacted.
Right. Yeah. They know the solution.
And so I'm getting so fed up because it's time out.
I think that this is both an inspiring story, but a story that's also has certain warnings that we need to heed, because the inspiring story is that the vote got out, right? And people really did vote against bigotry, pedophilia, racism, homophobia. But it's also scary that it came this close. I was relieved because with Trump's election, I thought that, you know, no one cares if the person's a sexual abuser or racist.
Right.
That was my fear. Although I do think that Trump had built in, like, Trump's image is that he doesn't play by the rules. He's like a bad boy. And Roy Moore his image was being Christian. So I always thought that maybe there was more, it was easier to show him as a hypocrite and maybe he could get caught that way.
Yeah.
But my worry is that people are looking at this and they're like, you see, we don't need to worry. Like, we don't have to pander, or no, we'll pander the black vote, but we don't actually have to do anything for black voters. We can go to the fish fry. We can go to churches the week right. before the election. Yeah. And because they'll just say we won, but look at how close it was.
Right.
People will say, look, the Dems don't need to do anything more for black voters because they got our backs again. But it was very close. And of course, I mean, it's morally and ethically wrong to take the votes of people who are supporting you for granted. But even just on a strategic level, right, if Dems want to win elections, the takeaway from this shouldn't be we got it, like Dems have it, just keep doing what you're doing.
Right, right. And you know what? We could have easily made this election cycle a protest vote. We were on the way to doing that in a big way because we activists on the ground are fed up with it. Mm. And so I said, okay, because I barely say Doug Jones' name.
Really?
So right. I was thinking, okay,
right.
I have to vote against, we cannot allow Roy Moore to represent us. So let's go ahead and vote Doug Jones. Mm.
Right.
And, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. When I went to vote yesterday around 3:30 or 4 o'clock, I believe I felt the calm come over me because as I was voting, I felt in the spirit that I was doing the right thing and that I was my vote was for poor folks. My vote was for marginalized folks, and that we were doing the right thing. And that as soon as I bubbled in Doug Jones' name, I felt the calm. And I literally heard that we were going to win, you know, in the spirit. And I walked and I just said, I said out loud, thank you. And I walked to the car, came home, and I wrote on Facebook, we got this. The Democrats will win tonight. And that was, I think I wrote that about 4:30.
And how did you know that they would win?
I knew it. And I wish I could say I knew we would win because it was packed at my polling place, but there was no one there, you know, voting but me. So that could have been discouraging. But I just felt that we need a win. It's time for a win. It's time for something different. And I believe that with all of the hard work that we're doing, the organizers and activists in Alabama working so hard, it was time for a win. And if when you're doing the right things and you're applying yourself and you putting forth the effort, and you keep making it happen, something is going to happen. You're going to achieve a breakthrough. And I felt like when I shifted from voting, because I'm mad at Doug Jones because he is not engaging us and all that kind of stuff. But when I started thinking about the things that Roy Moore had said, and I said, okay, we can make, and I said, what could motivate us to, you know, still make this happen? And I said, okay, a vote against.
Right.
Maybe that'll work.
Right.
And just started thinking about our poor folks, and I felt it. I said, this is it. We're going to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard, right? Because it's this tricky thing, because you know that there's going to be a really big difference between someone like Moore and Jones, but you want the difference to be bigger. So you don't want, but you don't want people to suffer more in the meantime. So I guess the hard thing is that we have to like push people to be better. Yeah, because if people just get their support, their unconditional support, they're not going to listen to them. But no one wants to, you know, cut off their hand despite their whatever, cut off their nose despite their faces either.
Right. I felt like we let them on in, let them on in. And then someone said, well, go ahead and vote for him and then hold him accountable.
Yeah.
And I said, if someone didn't listen, would not engage us or listen to us during a campaign, do you think that I believe that now I could call and say, hey, we need to set up a meeting? I don't believe that. I mean, we could try, but more strategically, we can organize and say, let's take a break. Let's celebrate for 24 hours. And then come back together and organize to talk about what are some of the things that we need to do to hold him accountable, or it's only so much he can do anyway. So let's start looking for our candidate, or let's, you know, keep an eye on him and, you know, see what happens.
Right. Ben Jealous, who was on my show, said, you don't vote for a politician to make change. You vote for a politician who will make it easier for you to make change. Which I thought was a good quote.
That is good.
Right? What did he meet with you at all, Doug Jones, though?
No, he never did. I spoke with, and lots of people were people that worked with his campaign. Lots of volunteers were sending him emails. And I would just say that I'm praying that he does a good job, you know, for the state of Alabama and represent us well. You know, maybe if we organize and do, you know, just put some things in place, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I still don't know Doug Jones.
Right.
I know that Doug Jones prosecuted the KKK back in the 90s, and right. everyone has made sure we know that. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know anything else except for that's way much better than a racist. Right. I feel like we sent a strong statement. You know, we made a strong statement on yesterday that we're saying no to races. You know, we're going to change things here in Alabama. And I don't want us to get, I don't want Alabama and the Democrats to get the big head because I'm not sure if the outcome would be the same if it was not such a flawed candidate. Right.
If it was just a mainstream, your normal bad Republican, as opposed to someone who had been accused of like statutory rape and trying to date younger women by multiple
exactly.
women. Yeah. That's the danger that people will get cocky.
That's the danger. And that's why I'm saying don't lose the momentum.
Right.
We can't afford to.
Yeah.
The next candidate may not be as flawed.
Right. Exactly. And we thought that with Trump, I think lots of people were like, well, we may get lucky because Trump is so bad, but then we didn't because of the Electoral College.
But Katie, did you see the number of people that still voted for him? I mean,
yeah.
The majority, I mean, the number of white folks, yeah. a small percentage of blacks,
yeah.
you know, that I don't understand, but so many, that's scary.
Thanks for listening to The Katie Halper Show. We will see you next week. Kara McClure is an organizer with the Poor People's Campaign in Birmingham, Alabama. She's also running for Alabama Public Service Commission Place 1. You can find out more about her at iamkaramcclure.com. You can hear The Katie Halper Show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WBAI. That's 99.5 FM. Or WBAI.org. You can also find us on iTunes. Rate and review us. And you can find us on SoundCloud. And make sure you join our Patreon at patreon.com/TheKatieHalperShow. Again, it's patreon.com/TheKatieHalperShow so that you can get bonus goodies. Check out our bonus interview with Matt Brunig, the founder of the People's Policy Project, which is a crowd-funded think tank.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.